Okay, today's daf is Nida Daf Chav Ches. Today's share is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also by the members of BKNW in honor of the birth of a baby girl to Dr. and Suri Lander. Now the Daf Yomi is being sponsored in honor of one extra person. We wish the Landers much nachas from the new edition. They should be zocha to be in the gadol of the Torah, the ben Torah, the chuppah, the ma'isim tovim. So we are holding on the first wide line of Daf Chav Zayin and Beis, and we were in the middle of discussing the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said in the Mishnah back on Chav Vav Amar Aleph that Shulya Bebayis, unlike the Tanakam who says when there's a Shulya Bebayis, the Bayis is Tamei, Rabbi Shimon said, no, Nima Kavlad Al Shuliyat, so the Bayis is not going to be Tamei. So we're trying to figure out, why does Rabbi Shimon think the Bayis is not going to be Tamei? So we had two suggestions yesterday, and today we're going to suggest a third approach in Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Reish Lakish is going to suggest a third approach. I'm going to have a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, about a sphere that lost its tzura because it gets mixed with water, and we're going to compare that to ashes and whether ashes are Tamei or not. So the two machlokas may be related to each other. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, what if a woman is mapil, a fully formed arm or leg? It's chatucha, it has all the fingers, but no other part of the body. So how do we view the tumas leid of such a woman? And then we're going to talk about, what if a baby sticks its hand out and then pulls the hand back inside the mother? So is the mother already tamei tumas leida just from the emergence of the hand? And if so, what level of tumah is that? Is that daraisa? Is that mitrabanan? Then the Mishnah toward the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to have two topics. First topic is, what do we do with tumas leida when the baby is either a tumtum or an androgynous? And the second topic is, how do we define the moment of birth? How much of a baby has to emerge in order for us to say it is now born, and all of the halachos of tumas leida, and starting to count toward the bris milah, the days of the bris milah, and pidyon haben, and all of that? At what point do we say that happens? Then the entire rest of the daf is going to discuss the tumah status of a tumtum and androgynous with regard to burning truma and with regard to karban for entering the mikdash. Since a man and a woman become tamei in different ways when liquids emerge from their body, a man only if loven comes out, a woman only if adam comes out, only if red comes out. So what do we do with a tumtum and androgynous? And what if a tumtum and androgynous has both? So you would think, okay, so for sure he's going to be tamei, but not maybe not for everything. And we're going to discuss in detail what we learn from the words mizachar v'ad nekeva, both in the context, in three different contexts, in the context of tumas mikdash, of the isra of coming into the mikdash betuma, with regard to truma, being metame truma, and with regard to arachim, that the phrase mizachar v'ad nekeva, or something like it, appears in all three contexts. We're going to have to see what it means in each of those contexts. So we are holding again at the first wide line, Chav Zayin and Beis, and we're still trying to figure out different possibilities of what's behind the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that Shilya Babayis, the Bayis is not Tamei. So Reish Lakish Amar, Shvir Shatrafu B'meimav, Nasa Kemeis Shenizbal B'lotzuraso. That if you have a Shvir, that the or of the Vlad, where all of the Atzamos and the Gidim and the Bas are formed, that gets mixed in with other liquids, and therefore you can't see any tzura anymore, so that's like a mace that has no tzura left, let's say like a mace that has been cremated and the ashes are spread all over and you can't see any tzura to the ashes anymore, it's no longer going to be metame. So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Meish and Espalbula Tzuraso Minolan Detar. So Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, how do you know that that's true? Meaning you're saying, oh, the Shvir is just like a Meish and Espalbula Tzuraso. I don't know how you know that a mace is valbula tzuraso is tar in the first place. Who said just because you don't have a tzura of the mace that it's tar? And ilema meha, you're going to tell me, you're going to learn it from the Amr Rabbi Shabtai, Amr Rabbi Yitzchak migedla'a, va'amri la'a, Amr Rabbi Yitzchak migedla'a, Amr Rabbi Shabtai. One of them said in the name of the other. We're not sure who said in the name of who, but they said that mace shenisraf v'shildo kayemes, that if a mace is burnt, but the form of its body is still intact, so it still has its tzura, Tamei, that it's still going to be Tamei. And Maisa Hayav Timulo Psachim Gedolim. And it once happened, and the Chacham wore Metamei all of the larger entranceways and exits of the room that the mace was. That even though the tumah only goes out, normally if the doorways are open, so the tumah could get out through a posach tefach, but even if the doors are closed, there's a tumah called sof tumah latzes, that if the mace is ultimately going to go out through one of these doors, and we don't know which one, so all of the doorways, even on the other side of the door, all of them have tumah because of sof tumah latzes. So they were metame all of the psachim gedolim as if it was a full mace that was still in the bayis. So the reason for that din is because ultimately it's going to come, the mace is going to go through. Rashi Maseches Beitz on Daf Lamed Ches says that that's halacha l'Moshe Misinai, the din of sof tumah latzes. Really, strictly speaking, midinei tumah mitara l'chara, the door should block it and it shouldn't be able to get through. But it's halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Rashi writes in Beitz Daf Lamed Ches. In Beitz Daf Yud, Rashi writes that it's a din midrabanan. So that's something that bothers the Achronim. Exactly how do we figure out, how are we miyashev Rashi? Is it a din drabanan or is it halacha l'Moshe Misinai? Rav Asher Weiss deals with this in his tshuva about Kohanim visiting Maris HaMachpela. He deals with that Rashi about sof tumah latzes, because I guess you have a potential sof tumah latzes issue over there as well, although not as clear. I mean, I guess there are some entranceways between where you're standing and where the mesim are that are sometimes open and sometimes closed. So I guess even if they're closed, the concern of sof tumah latzes that they might be open, even though the bodies are not going to be carried out. It's just that the tumah ultimately will spread through those doorways. So I'm not sure about that. But anyway, so back to us. So what was the story? You had a mace that was burnt, but it was still intact, meaning the shape of it was still intact. So we said we're going to apply sof tumah latzes, and all the larger doorways are going to be tameh. But v'tira lo psachim ketanim on the top of Chav Ches Amalav, they were metayer the smaller doorways, meaning the doorways that were less than 4x4 tfachim, but that they're not going to be metame ba'ol, because we assume that an intact mace is not going to be brought out through a doorway that's less than 4x4 tfachim. V'kadiyakta, so it must be that you, Reish Lakish, were medayik from that time of the Shilda Kayames, that the only reason it's metame the larger doorways is because it's intact. Halav halchi tahar, but once it's nisbal b'la tsuraso, once you don't have the tsuras emes anymore, then it's going to be tahar. But I don't know that you're being medayik correctly. Adraba, dok mina lahai gisa. I could be medayik from this very same statement in the opposite direction. That shildu kayamas hu detiralo psachim ketanim. Maybe we're only so makel on the smaller doorways because the mace is intact. Halav hachi, but if the mace were no longer intact, psachim ketanim nami tamein, then we would be metame even the psachim ketanim. De kol chad v'chad chazilav huke chad chad ever. Because then it makes sense that you would bring out a varim of the mace through each of the smaller doorways. Why do we assume you're not going to bring the mace through the smaller doorways? It won't fit when it's intact, and you're not going to rip apart the mace. But if it's ain shildo kayemes, if it doesn't have a tzura anymore, maybe there's more tumah in the other doorways, but not that it loses its tumah status. So I don't think that's a valid source for you, Rabbi Yochanan says, to Reish Lakish. So Amrle Ravina the Ravashi, Rabbi Yochanan da Amar Kiman. When Rabbi Yochanan says that even if it's ain shildo kayemes, it's still going to be tameh, that even if it doesn't have a tzura, it's still going to be tameh, who's he assuming like? Rabbi Eliezer. He must be assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah in Ahalos. Titnan, Efer Srufin, if you have the ashes of people that were burnt, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Shi'uro Karova. Rabbi Eliezer says the shear is a Rova Akav. That's the shear of the Tumah of Atmos HaMeis. So it sounds from Rabbi Eliezer that even if it's not a Meis Shalem, it's Tameh. So you see that a Meis is Metameh even if it's Batal Tsuraso. So you see from the Mishnah that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. They hold that Efer Srufim is Tahar, and Rabbi Yochanan is following Rabbi Eliezer. Reish Lakish is therefore following the sheet of the Rabbanan. So Hechidami says Gemara, what's the case where that we said that Meisha Nisra Fishilda Kayemes? What's the case that we were speaking about where the mace gets burnt, but the Shilda is Kayemes? So Amrabai Gonshasarfa al Gabe Katavla. It has to be that you burn it on something that's very hard, that won't burn, that will not burn together with the mace, and therefore there's no tarovis of anything else with the ashes of the mace. That the ashes are pure dead body ashes, it's not also ashes of anything else mixed in. Rav Amram Shasarf al Gabe Apudarim, you're burning on top of some type of stone that also doesn't burn. Meaning the point is that not only is it burnt on something that won't burn, but the ashes are contained. contained. It has to be that it's in some sort of their walls, I guess, that stop the ashes from spreading, from blowing away. Ravina Amar Kohen de Ichruchi Achruche. It's where the mace gets totally singed, but does not turn into mamish ash. That's the case, because once it turns into ash, it's got to be mixing in with other things. It's got to be blowing away. You're not going to have Shildo Kayemis. The only time you have Shildo Kayemis is if you have charred bodies, but it still looks like bodies. It doesn't look like ashes yet. So that is the machlokas. Now it seems that Reish Lakish is on the winning side of this, meaning if really Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing about a machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan, so we know we're always going to pass on like the Rabbanan against Rabbi Eliezer, and Reish Lakish is on the side of the Rabbanan when he says that once it lost its tzura, so it's not going to be metame. In fact, the Rishonim are bothered that why is it that Rabbi Yochanan is even asking on Reish Lakish, you know, how do you know that the Mishnah is Tzuraso is tahar? Meaning, at the end of the day, the Gemara is going to show that it's a Mishnah, and Rabbi Yochanan, you're following Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim disagree. So Tosos and the other Rishonim ask, how could Rabbi Yochanan even attack Reish Lakish on this? So Tosos suggests Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing within the Shita of the Chachamim. That according to Reish Lakish, the Svara for the Chacham being Metaher, the burnt body, is because it was an Espalbel Tzuras HaGuf of the burnt body. And therefore, we can apply that to Ishilya Shen Espalbel Tzuraso, that's Tar as well. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the Svara of the Chacham being Metaher is not because of the Bilbel Tzura. It's because they hold that a burnt body doesn't have a shame Adam Ameis, and it's not Metame even if it's fully intact. So it turns out that we don't see from the Chachamim anything about Bilbul Tzura. It's just about with the effect of burning something, which has nothing to do with the fetus in our case. That's one of the Terutzim that Tosos offers. Tosa Rush also comes up with another way that they're arguing within the Shita of the Chachamim. The Ramban suggests that Rabbi Yochanan understand that Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim are arguing about a mace that becomes Efer Mamish, but if it's only Nispal Blitzraso, then everyone's going to be Moda, very similar to Tosos, that if it gets burnt, that's a whole different story, if it turns to ash mamish. Unfortunately, this issue of what happens when a mace turns to ash, and is it metame, is not only a theoretical issue. In Jewish history, it's become something that's been halacha lemaisa, both in unfortunate in terms of the Holocaust, and in terms of the spiritual Holocaust, that there's so many Jews that opt for, so many Jews who don't know any better or choose not to know any better, who opt for cremation and what the tumah status of that is. So there's a discussion in the poskim about the those who died al kiddush Hashem b'milchama, whether kohanim are allowed to be osik b'kvurasam. In the Tshuvas Emek Halacha Chelik Bey Simin Memtes, he discusses the ashes of Auschwitz, and he says that it's not a pigia b'kvodim of the kedoshim. He starts the tshuva by saying, maybe you're going to tell me if I tell you that those ashes are Tameh, that it's somehow Pagia in the covenant of the Kedoshim to say that they are Tameh. He says, no, Adrabah, that would be the greatest covenant, to say that they are actually Metameh would not be a Pagia in the covenant. The Toskot Yerushalmi, that according to the Chum in the Torah, even Kesher Shilda Kayemes, it's Tar. Why do we say Tameh? We play Kvodo Shalmeis. That we would only say Tameh because of the cover of the mace. So you see that Dafka, it's a cover of the mace to say it's Tameh. So what's the discussion over here? So it seems that we've already discussed this, right? We have Machlokas, Chachamim, and Rabbi Eliezer. What about ashes of a mace? And the Chachamim, which is who we paskin like, will say if it lost its tzura, then it's not metame anymore. So why in the world would anyone think to be metame? So the Achronim discuss Mishnei Tzadim. First of all, according to one of the Terutzim of Tosfos, Rabbi Yochanan is also going within the Shita of Chachamim, and he holds that if Efer HaMeis is all in one place, then the Chacham might be moda that it's Tamei, that it's only because they assume that it's Nispazer, that you don't have a full mace in one place. So maybe over here you do have that, although it's hard to imagine that this would be any different. But then the other reason that they're suggesting, that the Poskim suggest maybe there's reason to be Metamei, is based on the Chiddush of the Ragachavr. In the Tzafnas Paneach, the Ragachavr says that yes, Efer Srufim are Tahar, but that's only Kishen Nisraf Kishu Chai. That's only if a person was burnt alive. But if a person died first and then was Nisraf, then it's still going to be Tameh, because the Tumas Meis happened when they died, burning the mace that's already tameh, that's already dead, is and therefore already tameh, is not going to take away the tumah. He's medayik this from a lashon of the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos and Maseches Alos. So the question is, do you hold of that chiddush of the Ragachavar? And if you do hold of that chiddush of the Ragachavar, what's the metzius in the crematoria? Do we assume that people died and were then burnt? So it seems that that's the metzius, as opposed to it's even a discussion where if someone were burnt alive, do you assume that they were, is that even a metzius to what the Ragachavar is describing? That the whole thing is that if a person's burnt alive, then the Afer is going to be tahar. But if they died first, so when a person is burnt, they died before they turned to ashes, right? Mistama. So it's hard to even understand what the metzius of the Ragachavar is. So that's the whole question, whether they assume, like that chiddush of the Ragachavar. Pashtus is that they should not be mitame, that it has the din of the Afer Srufim that we're talking about now. That's not metame. There's also a discussion in the Emek Halacha. He has a tshuva about a guy who wants to bring his father's remains to Eretz Yisrael, but it's very expensive to dig up an aron and bring the entire aron to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, his father has already been buried, and it's very expensive to bring the entire aron to Eretz Yisrael. So he wants to know, can he have the aron opened up and just do, they call it likud atzamos, but to actually just take apart the parts of the body and put it in a smaller box and bring that to Eretz Yisrael. It's for the covenant of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, so maybe you could do something like that. So he says, first of all, that's not called the Tzorach HaMeis. That you want to save an extra couple of bucks, you know, not he said, that's the Tzorach Yud, let's be very clear. That's not a Tzorach HaMeis. Yes, it's more expensive to bring the entire Aron. He says, I don't think that's called the Tzorach HaMeis. He says, if when you open up the box, it's Kvar Nisachel HaBasar, but it's Shildo Kayemes, the form is intact, and the Evarim are Mechubar one to the other, he says, it's absolutely Asur to pull apart a body that's still attached. It's a bit Ferish and Shulchan Aruch like this in Yerodea, that you're not allowed to be mefarik the atzamos, you're not allowed to be mafsik gidim, so that's absolutely awesome. And he says, the raya is from our sugya. What do we say? If you have the shildu kayemis of a burnt mace, so we said the psachim that are closed, but the larger psachim are tame, the smaller psachim are tahar. Only if it's, if it's in smaller pieces already, then maybe the smaller psachim are tame as well. Why are the smaller psachim tahar when the mace is intact? Because the assumption is that the sof tumah latzeis is that you want to bring out the mace intact. No one has a havamina that you're going to start pulling apart the mace and taking apart pieces of the body and taking it out, because then even the smaller psachim would accommodate smaller pieces of the body. So elamai, you see that that's not an option, that one is not allowed to just pull apart different pieces of a mace. Okay, says the Gemara Vaitina, Tan Rabbanan, Hamapelis Yad Chatucha Veregel Chatucha. A new topic, a woman miscarries, and what comes out is a fully formed arm or leg. So imo tumei leida, the mother has tumas leida, because we assume that these are parts of a full vlad that somehow she missed. We don't assume that these come from an unformed body, which would not give the woman a status of tumas leida. We assume that if these are formed limbs, they come from a formed body, and somehow she just missed it. Yeah, but we're not going to give her Yimei Tohar, meaning we're not going to allow her up until 40 days after Leda, between 14 and 40 days, to assume that any dam she sees is Tohar, which a woman would normally have. My taima, Eima Hirchika Ledasa, because we don't know when the rest of the body came out. The Yimei Tohar might be over as far as we already know, and there's just one arm that's been hanging around inside of her and just popped out now. But as far as we know, we have no idea when the Yimei Tohar are. We know that there must have been a vlad, but we don't know when that vlad emerged. So Masav Rav Yosef challenges Rav Chista and Rabbi Rav Huna. It says in the Mishnah, Hamapelus ve'in yadua mahipila. If a woman is mahipila, but she doesn't know whether it's a male or a female, teshev lazachar v'la nekeva. She's choshesh for both zachar and nekeva. But v'yisal kadai techol ki ay gavna eima hirchika leidasa. But if you're going to say that in any such case where a limb comes out, that we assume, who knows, maybe the rest of the body came out at a different time, listeni Ulanida, if she's in here there, Mayan Pila, we should also say Tesha Lazakhar, Ulanikeva, Ulanida, so that everyone will know that she doesn't have Yimei Tohar. Meaning that word Ulanida would let us know that you have to be Machmir that she has Yimei Tuma of a Nikeva, but not that she has Yimei Tohar of anybody, that she has to assume that any blood she sees is Tumas Nida. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, you're right, but Itana Lanida, had it added that word Lanida, would have given a mistaken impression. Havamina Mivia Karban Ve'inonechal. We would think that it means that she brings a karban, but it doesn't get eaten, because since it says Lanida, it sounds like it's a suffix whether there was a vlad or not, right? Normally the word Lanida would mean, I don't know if this is a baby or just some dam, and dam makes her a nida. So that would give the impression that she's not definitely a yoledes. We want to give the halacha actually is, if she's mapelis, you know, there my pila, she is a yoledes. She just doesn't get Yimei Torah because we don't know when she became a Yoledes. But a carbon is absolute. The carbon is brought. It's Nechal. It's absolutely Chayiv a carbon. Saying the word Ulanida would give the misimpression that we're not even sure that she's a Yoledes. So Kamash Malan, the Nechal. That's why we don't say the word Ulanida, to let it be known that the carbon gets eaten. But in a Chinami, we also have to keep in mind that she will not get Yimei Torah. It's just that there was no way to properly express that in a single line. Amrav Huna, another halacha. Hotzi uber as yadav v'chzira. If the uber sticks out its hand and pulls it back inside the mother, so imot tmei leida, the mother has tumas leida. Shenemar, because the pasuk says when Peretz and Zerach, the sons of Yehuda, were born, vayihi belidata vayiten yad. So the Torah says belidata a leida vayiten yad, and it stuck a hand out. So you see that sticking a hand out is called a leida, and it sounds like min haTorah. It's called a leida. So Masav Rav Yehuda reviewed the challenges. Hotzi uber es yado eini mochashashas lekol davar. That if the Brisa says that if a baby sticks its hand out, the mother doesn't have to worry about anything. It's nothing. It's a zero. Amar Rav Nachman ledim frashim lenei Rav Huna lachush choshashas yimei Torah lo yavin la adin afik rube. No, no. What we mean is if it sticks a hand out, we're already choshesh for tumas leida, but we don't give yimei Torah that's associated with tumas leida until the baby until the majority of the baby emerges. Iva einimel choshesh to call davar ka'amar, but it says that the mother's not choshesh for anything. So how can you say that that means that, yeah, we're choshesh? It says when she's not choshesh. So Amar Abaye einimel choshesh to call davar midoraisa. She's not tamei tumas leida on a daraisa level. So the end of choshesh is speaking on a purely daraisa level. Aval midrabanan choshesh, but midrabanan, we do give her the status of tumas leida. The Ritva is bothered. If midrabanan were choshesh, it's a very strange lashon to use to say ena choshesh as l'kol davar. Ena choshesh as l'kol davar sounds like it means lemaisa, there's nothing to be choshesh for. So the Ritva says what you have to say is that this is a late din drabanan. That when the Tanoim in the Braisa say ena choshesh, it was still true in the days of the Tanaim. This was introduced by the Amoraim, this Chumrah, that when the baby sticks an arm out, that we're already going to give her Tumas Leida. That's a din of the Amoraim, which is very difficult to imagine, but it's still being observing Tumah and Tahara. Who cares about Tumas Leida in the days of the Amoraim? Meaning she's still going to be bleeding anyway. So Tumas Leida L'chara only matters if you're going to be worried about Tumah and Tahara, and you're going to have to observe when she goes to the mikvah at the end of the Yimei Tumah so that she can begin her Yimei Tara. I guess there could be a woman who doesn't bleed for more than a couple of days after she gives birth, and then you have to worry about Tumas Leida. I guess such a thing could happen. Okay, so Krakha, I'm asking her still, how can you say that it's all speaking on a drabanan level, that the idea that she has Tumas Leida is only midrabanan? We quote a pasuk by the children of Yehuda. It says, "Mar midrabanan ukras machta bialma." So, din midrabanan, the pasuk is only in a smachta, but on a daraisa level, it's not considered a leida. I ask the achronim, you know, the pasuk continues. So the baby sticks its hand out. So what does the pasuk say? Vatika chami aledes, vatikasher al yado shani lemar ze yatzar rishona. So she ties a string on it to mark the baby that was yatzar rishona. Why was she marking the baby that stuck its hand out first as yatzar rishona? You want to tell me on a daraisa level it was not yatzar on a daraisa level, but she marked it as yatzar rishona. So a couple of approaches in the achronim. The Arachayim Hakadosh says she didn't know the halacha. She thought that the mialedes thought that when the baby sticks its hand out, that's called yatzar rishona. Torah Shleima says no, she's a mialedes. She assumes that 99% of the time, the baby that sticks his hand out first is also coming out first. So she just marked it right away so that, you know, after the babies are born and, you know, when there's chaos and they're trying to clean the babies off or whatever, so that they shouldn't confuse them. So as soon as it stuck its hand out, she marked it because she assumed that's the baby that's going to be coming out. It turns out it wasn't the baby that came out first. But in a chinami, on a deraisa level, that would not qualify as a leida. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamapelis tumtum vandrogonus. If a woman is mapil a tumtum where you can't tell if it has zachrus, or you can't see a simanim of zachrus or nakvus, or an androgynous where it has both simanim of zachar and nekeva, so teshev lezachar and nekeva. Since we don't know what its halachic status is, we're machmir that she has the yimei tuma of a nekeva and the yimei tara only of a zachar. Tumtum v'zachar, but what if it's twins? One of the babies is definitely male and the other one's a tumtum. Or androgynous v'zachar, one's definitely male and the other is an androgynous. So there are two options over here of what happened. Either they're both male babies, in which case she only has yimei tuma v'tara of a male, or one is a male, one is a female. We just don't know what the second baby is. So teshev lezachar nekeva, it's still a suffix. Maybe it's a tumtum or androgynous was a nekeva, and therefore it's 2 weeks of tuma, but yimei tara stop at day 40. Tumtum and nekeva, androgynous and nekeva, teshev lenekeva b'vav. But if there's a definite nekeva there, well then you know you need 2 weeks of tumah because of that nekeva, and you know that you get 66 days of tara that follow that because of the nekeva. So the tumtum and androgynous are sort of irrelevant. So the Mishnah explains when is the vlad. That's part one of the Mishnah by tumtum and androgynous. Now we're going to get into when is a vlad considered to be born so that the mother is tamei tumas leida. So yatsa mechutach, if a baby came out in broken up pieces, broken up evarim, or it came out the wrong way, feet first, Mishayatza Ruba. When the majority of the body is out, that's when the Leda is considered to have happened. Hareu Kiyalud, that's when it's Yalud. Yatza Kedarko, but if the baby comes out normally, head first, Achiyatze Rov Rosho, then the majority of the head emerging is considered a Leda. Vezu Rov Rosho, Mishayatza Padachto. What's called the Rov Rosho? When the forehead of the baby is out. The Meiri points out that there's another way to tell if a Leda happened, when you hear the baby crying, even though it's Yatza Rosho, the Mialedas is that it's Yatza Rosho Chutz Lepruzder, it's considered to be a Nolad, because the Gemara says on Daf Mem Memral that a Tinok Sheshmiya Kolo on Erev Shabbos and then is born on Shabbos, that you don't do a Mila on Shabbos, because it's considered to be that it was already Nolad on Erev Shabbos. So the Miri says the reason is because Meshmiya Kolo is an indication that its head was far enough out at that time that that you were able to hear the screaming of the baby. I mean, it doesn't necessarily, it's unclear exactly out of where does the baby have to come. I mean, how far out? Miben Ashinayim, where exactly is the point where you would say that it's already born? This is actually Chaps Nafkamina La Alacha, a very important Nafkamina La Alacha that comes up all the time. A lot of the poskim discuss what if a mother's having trouble delivering and they use forceps to pull the baby out. So it's a major discussion in poskim whether you do pidyon haben, because pidyon haben has to be a pet rechem without a chatzitza between the baby and the rechem. But if the forceps are a chatzitza between the baby and the rechem, then you wouldn't require a pidyon haben. So a number of the poskim say, oh, of course you require a pidyon haben, because by the time they're doing that, the baby's head is already far enough out that it's already a leida, meaning they're only pulling it the rest of the way. So whereas others say, we're not convinced by that. We don't know that the baby's head is far enough out, miben ha-shinayim, that it's already considered a leida. Maybe this is considered a leida the chatzitza. Yet other posts can get more creative and say, even if the baby was not yet born, is not yet nolad by the time they use the forceps, who says the forceps are chatzitza? Chatzitza is only when something is makbit. But over here, she's dafka makbit that they should use the forceps. She doesn't want to die, and she doesn't want the baby to die. So they're both mommy and baby are makbit that they should use this. So maybe it's not called makbit that it shouldn't be there, which would be a chatzitza. So therefore, it's not a chatzitza. Okay, so this plays a role in halacha. Says the Gemara, hashta tumtum luchudei v'androgynous luchudei amar teshuv zachar l'nekeva. When it comes to tumtum Tumin and Androgynous that are born alone without a twin, we say that they have 2 weeks of Tumah, and the Yemei Tara only goes until day 40. So Tumtum Androgynous Vizachar Mibai. So obviously, if they're born together with a male twin, the same halacha is going to apply. Meaning, what's the chiddush of telling me the case where they're born with a male twin? So it says Mar Itzrich. There is a chiddush, because even though a tumtum that's born alone, there's a suffix whether it's zachar in the keva, but a tumtum that's born with a zachar, mal detema, I would have said, hol vam Rabbi Yitzchak, ish mazras tchilo yoled a zachar, ish mazriya tchilo yoled a snekeva, ema midahai zachar hanami zachar. I might have thought that it's an indicator of the gender of the tumtum when it's born together with a zachar, because there is a way, not an absolute indicator, but not an absolute raya, but an indicator at the time of conception, whether the baby is going to be a boy or a girl, which if the man is Mazriya Tchila, then it's going to be a girl. If the woman is Mazriya Tchila, it's going to be a boy. So if the other baby born is a Zachar, so it must be that the Isha was Mazra As Tchila, which means that this Tumtum or Androgynous is also a Zachar. So that's what I would have thought. So Kamash Malan, Eimash name is Yubi Vasachas, Zu Zachar Zonikeva. No, could be that they were both Mazriya simultaneously, in which case there is no definitive way that this pregnancy had to go as far as Zachar or Nekeva, so it could be that one will be a Zachar, one will be a Nekeva. Chaznish raises the question, what do you need this whole din Ishmas Riyatzkilish? Why not just Kamash Malan? Sometimes there are boy and girls that are twins, right? There's one boy, one girl. So however you're going to touch it up, whether they're Mazriya Babasachas, but it happens, that's just the Mitzias. So Chaznish says, yeah, but it's a rare Mitzias, and I might have thought that we don't have to be Choshish for it. So that Mazriya Bebasachas is enough of a common thing that we're choshesh for it, that we're choshesh, that's what happened, and we don't even use the gender of the other baby as an indicator for what this baby is. Amr of Nachman Amrav, Tumtum Androgynous Sharo'u Loben O Odem. If you have a Tumtum Androgynous where either white emerges from the body or red emerges from the body, Ein Chayavan Alam Bias Mikdash. So since only a woman is Tameh when red emerges from the body, if a man bleeds, so he's not Tameh, and only a man is Tameh when Loven emerges from the body, so and this person doesn't know what they are, a man or a woman, and one or the other emerged from the body, so if they enter the Beis HaMikdash B'Shogeg, they're not Chayav to bring Korban Olav Yored, like a Tameh person who enters the Beis HaMikdash, because they're not definitely Tameh, and if they bring the Korban, then it's Chulun La'azara. And if they touch truma, the truma is also ba'achila because maybe it became tamei, but we cannot burn that truma because we don't know for sure that it's tamei. Ra'u loven va'odam ke'echad. But what if they saw both loven and odam? So then we know for sure this person is tamei. Still, ein chayav al bias mikdash. You still wouldn't be chayav al bias mikdash. So that's going to require explanation. Why not? The person is definitely tamei. Aval sofren aleim es truma. If they touch truma, you're going to burn that truma because the person is definitely tamei. Shenemar, because the pasuk says when it comes to bias mikdash, mizachar viad nekeva tishalefu. So we darshan from that pasuk zachar vaday nekeva vadayis velo tumtum androgynous, that the din of tumas mikdash and bring the carbon oil of yorid for entering the mikdash betuma b'shogeg is only if you are a zachar or a nekeva. But if you don't know what you are, then you don't have that carbon. A special gzeres hakasuf says more lem sayer. I'll bring you a raya. If they saw one or the other, so they're not sure whether they're tamei or not, so then there is no carbon of the yared for bias mikdash. There is no burning the truma. But ro loven ve'odem ka'achas ein chayavan al bias mikdash avol sofren aleim es truma. They're not going to be chayav for bias mikdash, but you will burn truma. My time alav mishum shnemar mizachar v'ad nekeva tishalechu zachar v'aday nekeva v'adayis v'lo tumtum androgynous. It must be because of the drasha that we said that it has to be a known gender in order to be chayiv for bias mikdash, and the tumtum androgynous don't have a known gender. Amar ula love. He says, no, the Bryce is not saying like Rav that we darshan this pasuk with about tumtum androgynous. Hamani Rabbi Eliezer he. This Bryce is assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer that's mechayiv a carbon tumah only if you know how you became Tameh. It's a separate din. It's not about that you don't, the person doesn't know their gender and that's why they're not chayav for Tumas Mikdash. Separate reason. You're only chayav for Tumas Mikdash, according to Rabbi Eliezer, when you know the source of your Tumah. So it's not about their lack of identity, of gender identity, to use the modern phrase. It's their lack of knowing where their Tumah came from. It's not, because the Mishnah says, Rabbi Lozer Omer, Hasheretz v'ne'lam mimenu, al-helim sheretz hu Mikdash. That if a person forgot that he had become tummy with the sheretz, but he knows that the place he's entering is the base of Mikdash, he's chayev a karban. If he forgot that he remembers that he was tummy b'sheretz, but he forgot that the place that he's entering in the Mikdash, so then he's not going to be chayev. Rabbi Akiva Omer, v'nelam imenu hu tummy al helam tumu chayev enu chayev al helam Mikdash. That he's only chayev if he forgot the source of his tumma, but he's not going to be chayev on helam Mikdash. So Arminan, my benai, what's between those two opinions, Amar Chizkia Sheretz Unevela Ikibinayu. The difference between those two opinions is, what if you have a person that had a sheretz and a nevela in front of him? He touched one of them, but he doesn't know which one he touched. So he knows he's tameh, but he doesn't know the source of his tumah. Is it the sheretz or is it the nevela? And then he goes into the mikdash, and after he forgot that he was tameh, goes into the mikdash, and after he leaves, he remembers, "Ayvei, I'm tameh." Rabbi Lezer Savar Beinan Adi Yada Ibesheretz Itmi Ibenevela Itmi. Rabbi Lezer Shita is you need to know the source of your tumah, and therefore he's going to be pater. Rabbi Kiva Savar Lo Beinan. Rabbi Kiva says you don't need to know. So you see, maybe the reason the guy who's a tumtum that sees, or an androgynous that sees both red and white come out of his body, maybe the reason he's not chayiv is not because you need to know your gender. Maybe it's because you need to know what made you tamei, and he has no idea what made him tamei. Was it the loven or was it the adam? So love amar Rabbi Lazar Hassam. Didn't Rabbi Lazar say over there, "Bein and the adi ibeshar itzmi ibinveli itzmi sachanami"? Bein and the adi beloven itzmi ibodem itzmi. Av the Rabbi Kiva dami shum tuma mechayiv hachanami shum tuma mechayiv. But maybe there's no such din that you need to know your gender, and Rabbi Akiva who holds that there's also no such din that you need to know the source of your tumah. Maybe Rabbi Akiva would hold that the guy is chayiv, that the tumah androgynous is chayiv for bias mikdash. So for Rav, maishna bias mikdash tolo. According to Rav, what was his whole vart? Why is it that a tumah androgynous that sees lovan and adom is not chayiv for bias mikdash? Dichsiv, it's because the pasuk said mizachav ad nekeva tishalechu, zachav ad nekeva vadas. So he said, oh, you got to know whether only a Zachar Vaday only in the cave of Adas. Well, Ihachi, if you're going to make such a drasha, Trumanami lo nisrof, then you shouldn't burn Truma when this person touches it either. Because by Truma, the Pasuk says, Vazove Zovo, La Zachar Vadayne Keva. Zachar Vaday in the cave of Adas. Well, Tumtum Androgynous, why don't you make the same drasha? That when it comes to Tumma of Truma, it's only if you know that it's a Zachar, you know that it's in the Keva. So it says, no. The Zachar in the Keva that it says by Truma, we need for a different drasha. Haumi bayaleilich the Rabbi Yitzchak. Tam Rabbi Yitzchak lezacha lerabels as a mitzora lemayanosav, to tell us that a mitzora, that all the liquids that come out of a mitzora's body, I have a din of an avatuma. Lunakeva lerabels as a mitzoraas lemayanoseha, that the mayanos of a mitzoraas have a din of an avatuma. So it's a totally different drasha. So it says Gemara, hai nami by zacher in the keva that it says by tumas mikdash also mi bayalei. We need the drasha also b'mishiyesh lo tar b'mikva pratlikli cheres. To tell me that you only have to send out of the mikdash that which has tara b'mikvah, meaning if you have a kli cheres that became tamei, it doesn't have to be brought out of the mikdash. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. So isn't that what we learned from Zachar and Akeva? So it's not open to teach me this din of tumtum androgynous. So no, imkei nichtav rachmana adam. If it only wanted to teach me the din of kli cheres, it could have said adam as opposed to a kli cheres that doesn't have tara b'mikvah. V'chitei meikas rachmana adam av amina kli matchos. No, if we would have said Adam, then I would have thought that you don't even take out Kli Malchus that are Tameh from the base of Mikdash. So says Gemara, no, Mivachal Tameh Lenefesh Nafka Zachar Nekeva Lamali. I'd already derived that from the din from Kli Malchus from Kal Tameh Lenefesh. So I still don't need the words Zachar Nekeva because Kli Malchus are included in Kal Tameh Lenefesh. Why do I have the words Zachar Nekeva Licha Derav to tell me Rav's din that if a person is a Tumtum or an androgynous and they see both white and red, and they enter the mikdash, they are not chayiv for bias mikdash because, as Rav said, they're not a zachar vaday, they're not in the kev vadayis. Ve'emel kulei lechadrav hudasa. So maybe this whole din of kli cheres is not true. Maybe the whole drasha is just to teach me this din of tumtum vandroganis. Same kei nichtov zachar unikeva. My mi zachar vi ad nikeva. ad kol davar sheyesh lo tara b'mikvah. So ad teaches me that anything that has tara b'mikvah has this din of tumas mikdash. Ihachi kit mi b'shar tumas lo l'shalchu. So if that's the case, when they become tame with other tumas like mace and sheretz, they should not have a din of shiluach, meaning this tumtum androgynous, forget about him seeing white and red emerge from his body. He just shouldn't have a din of shiluach mikdash. Even if he touches an avela, he shouldn't have a din of tumas mikdash. So amakra mi zachar. Mituma poreshas minazachar. It says mi zachar, and from there we derive that only when the tumah is poresh from the zachar, only that is there an exception for a tumtum vandrogonus. So bottom line is, according to Rav, the tumtum vandrogonus that experiences ziva, but he doesn't know what gave him the ziva, the red or the white, but he definitely experienced it, is not going to have a din of tumas mikdash. But according to Rav, not on account of not realizing where his tumah is from, but on account of the fact that the pasuk says zachar and nekeva are chayav for tumas mikdash, and he is neither a zachar nor a nekeva. He'll still have a din of tumas mikdash if he became tameh in other ways, by touching a nevela, by touching a sheretz. Okay, and Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll begin with the third application or third location in the Torah where the word zachar and nekeva are used, and what we darshan from there.